Teach us your path. Amen. Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Today's lessons have a lot to do with water. Water. And it's not for the reasons that we think. It's pretty clear. Not for the reasons we think. We think about water often as a cleansing thing, and many of us think that baptism is all about getting clean. That's really not what it's about. What it's about is dying to one's old self. So, water in Scripture is about death a lot of times, and that's because water is a messy business, if you think about it. Water is uncontrolled. And so in the book of Genesis, for instance, water is often identified with chaos. Chaos. Not the organization that the man from Uncle fought. but chaos means disorder, disruption. And that's what we are trying to resist during this time. And as I began with the line from today's song, "Show us your way, show us your way." Our ways are not very straight, are they? My ways, I've been reflecting a little bit on my ways lately. My ways are often filled with troubling and angry tapes that inspire me to close in on myself and to withdraw from others. And lots of times we don't pay much attention to that. We often think, in following the tradition of our Jewish brothers and sisters, that sin is about violating rules and laws. If that were true, Jesus would have been one of the great sinners of all time. Do you realize that? Jesus was doing all sorts of things that violated the law. But actually, what sin came to be in the Christian tradition, came to be understood as, was missing the mark. Those of you who are familiar with games like darts know what that's about. I'm not terribly proficient at darts or at sin for that. Well, I'm actually very proficient at sin. I'm not very proficient at hitting the bullseye. But I'm sure that there are those among us who, like Mr. T, spent many hours in places of ill repute where they throw darts. And you're throwing those darts, you get better and better, right? You're better and better at hitting the mark. Am I right, Mr. T? Sometimes the more adult beverages you have, the closer you get to the target, or at least you don't care.
Yes.
Yes. But you see, sin is about hitting that mark. What is that mark? It's not about rules. It's not about laws, we said. What is it? Well, we begin today, during Lent, we begin with a little bit different rhythm. And so we start with confession, but before that we had a sentence from Scripture, and we were reminded of these Scriptures, what Jesus said, were the great commandments. What Jesus said were the great commandments, but he's quoting from Hebrew Scripture. Remember that. He didn't make this stuff up. But he said, the greatest commandment is this, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. These are the two great commandments. Those are the two great commandments. And what missing the mark amounts to then is a failure to love. It is a failure to love. And so what I began by pointing out in this kind of autobiographical confessional way is saying, you know, I find that I have these tapes that cause me to withdraw and shrink in upon myself like Gollum from whatever that program was, that book.
Lord of the Rings.
Say it again? pay him for burden. And I have the same thing. But my object of love, though, is this false self. This false self, this image of myself that I've created, that other people can harm and damage very easily, because that false self of mine is very thin skin. It's anger. It starts with Plato's, do you believe that he said that? Do you believe she did that? Do you believe that? You have that? Any of you ever hear those? You've been reading my mail, haven't you? You've been reading my mail. So, and what happens then is we start to withdraw in on ourselves and we don't love. Now, I know this guy who's a Tibetan, teaches Tibetan Buddhism, and he tells me that he believes that it is, in fact, a feeling that we have of love. And that we can have that feeling for everyone. I don't know about that, because I don't have feelings. And I suspect that as much as I respect this guy, I'm not sure I agree with him about that. What we're really called to, though, when we're called to love God and when we're called to love our neighbors, is we're called to treat people in a certain way. You can feel however you want, but you need to treat that person the way they deserve to be treated. And I often fall short of that. And maybe you do too. And maybe that can be a Lenten discipline for you and me. That we try to take seriously the injunction to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that would mean, as Jesus said elsewhere, treating our neighbor as we would like to be treated. Wow, that's a big one. Because I don't do that a lot of the time. Do you? You always do that?
No.
That's a hard one, to treat your neighbor as you would like to be treated. That is to love them. That is to see them and to go outside of yourself. You see that? And what love calls us to, and what Christianity calls us to, and what Lent calls us to, is to be bigger than we are. I want you to be bigger than you are. I want to be bigger than I am in that respect, in the respect of love. Because what we're really being taught, when we're taught to love our neighbors and ourselves, and when we're taught to love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength, what we're being told is that love transcends all of our feelings. And that's where I disagreed a little bit with my Tibetan friend. Because it doesn't matter what you feel. It matters what you do. What you feel probably won't hurt somebody else. What you do will. And that's why we have to strive to look at what we're feeling and overcome it. And I'm telling you that is a hard business. To be mindful of what I'm feeling and then to act contrary to it is hard. But that's what we're called to. Because what Scripture is really teaching us is that our feelings should not dominate us. Love, in our tradition, is a virtue. It's a way of being and doing. We are called to act in love. We are called to be loving. It's a way of being and doing. It's what we do because it's who we are. And in that sense, it's a virtue. And as a virtue, it guides us. It guides our action to us. And it enables us to overcome those feelings that we have that we know in our heart of hearts are not right. That's the enemy of our human nature that's calling to us at those times. In my own personal wilderness, Jesus was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness. We read that and we think, He was led by the Spirit in order to make him stronger. Our our ways of separating ourselves from God and our neighbor, our ways of shrinking in upon ourselves, can actually make us stronger if we're willing to resist them. But one thing is for sure, that when we love and when we actually exercise our capacity for love, we can overcome all of our fears and all of our shortcomings and all of our limitations. You know, what's at the root of so much and so many of our shortcomings is that fear. So whereas I may say, I can't believe she said that, I can't believe he did that, what's really happening there is I'm afraid. So often we become afraid. We become afraid of others thinking certain things about us. We become afraid of those who look different from us, or that smell different from us, or that part their hair different than we do. We become afraid and fearful, and we shrink in upon ourselves. Love takes us out of ourselves. Love takes us above fear. Love takes us beyond all of that. So if we can live into that love that we're called to be and to do, we can overcome those insidious tapes that monopolize our thoughts. And we can become more and more like Christ. That's our birthright. That's who we're called to be. And so that's really what sin is. Sin is letting those insidious voices cause us to shrink within ourselves so that we miss the mark because we're not even looking at the target anymore. We can do better. And may that be our mission during this Lenten journey that we're on. That we learn to overcome all of those fears and all of that emotion that keeps us separated from our brothers and sisters and from God. May we do that and learn to love. May that be our vocation and our call, because that's what God wants from us. Not that our feelings define us, but that we control our feelings.